I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us this morning at 57500. At 10 o'clock following the news, we always like to talk about things that you can do to be water-wise. It's time now for Water-Wise at 10.
Water-Wise Tips at 10 with the KSL Greenhouse Show. We save you time, money, and work in your yard and garden.
And this morning, Ton, you wanted to talk about landscaping for shaded areas.
Yeah, I think we've been spending a lot of time on save water, save water, save water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, water less, water less. And one thing I think is often overlooked is the benefits of having shade trees in your yard. Because depending on the source, you can save anywhere from 10 to 30% on your energy needs because the shade trees are shading buildings. And so if you drive out, you know, if you're going up to, say, Boise, Twin Falls, or anywhere off the Wasatch Front or even on the Wasatch Front, you'll notice a lot of older homes are completely surrounded by shade trees. And you look at those homes and there's no air conditioning, no swamp coolers. And back in the day, these shade trees were used to cool the homes during the summer. And it's something that with modern air conditioning, we've gotten away from a little bit. But if you strategically plant trees in your yard, it can take anywhere from 5 to 10 years for them to get tall enough. But you can minimally reduce your energy needs, your electricity needs, by about 10% by just growing these shade trees. And plus you get all the other added benefits of having shade in your yard.
Okay, so it's more about planting shade trees than it is about landscaping in the shade.
Well, the landscaping in the shade, that's another added benefit that you're going to have to, once those trees get established, use shade-tolerant plants. But we've had a lot of calls this year that say, you know, my yard, the grass is struggling except for under my shade trees. And the reason being is that the grass under the shade trees doesn't require as much water from the shade as the grass does in the full sun areas. And so I've had several people make comments to me. It's like, well, I notice how well my lawn does in the shaded areas. I'm going to plant more shade trees so that I don't have to water as much and it keeps my grass greener during the summer.
Yeah, what do they have to think about when they're planning to plant shade trees? Because not every shade tree is equal.
No, they're not. And so the quick shade is from the cottonwoods and the willows, and I absolutely would not recommend planting those in your yard. There's very specific circumstances where those trees might work. Otherwise, you don't plant those. The other considerations are that shade trees need to be watered differently than your lawn. And so, especially if you have a new landscape, it's best to put those shade trees into their own areas to where they can be irrigated on their own time so that they can remain healthy. Now, eventually the roots will go into the lawn, but it's good to plant them on their own zones to get them established so that they can be healthier. Because when you're establishing a lawn that has shade trees in it, the shade trees are often overwatered.
Okay, other things we need to think about.
Just make sure that you plant trees of an appropriate size when they're fully grown. If you have a fifth acre, an oak tree is probably not going to be something you would want to plant because it gets 50 feet high and wide. But there are many trees, including maples, that have, there are a number of maples with smaller sizes. There's a number of ornamental crab apples that have smaller sizes. And so the other thing you need to be sure of is that when you are planting these trees, you look at their eventual size and make sure you have room for them so that you're not cutting them down in 15 or 20 years.
Okay. And you put up an article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. What are they going to find there?
They're going to find just some basic information about the benefits of adding shade. There's not a lot of details in there about actually planting, but what you're going to see, though, is that you can see actual energy benefits, not only from water savings, but electricity, so that you can save some money on both ends. And when you plant, what you're going to want to do is just make sure that you find trees that are suitable for the location so they don't outgrow it.
All right.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning. Taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Next listener, Ton, says, is there anything you can do about tomato blight?
I'm wondering if they're referring to the tomato apocalypse that's happening right now along the Wasatch
A lot of tomato problems. I mean,
yeah,
sounds like you're making light, but it's true. There are a lot of problems right now.
There are tomatoes, and I'm more aware of Juab and Utah counties, but I'm hearing reports from Davis Weber that tomatoes are going down all over the Wasatch Front. Some of my farms that I work with down in Utah County have lost up to half of their tomatoes.
That's incredible.
It is. And we've seen some leafhoppers, but I sent some samples up to campus last week and I got results back yesterday, at least preliminary. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that the samples I sent in did not have curly top in them, which I was kind of suspicious it was. And they said we didn't find any curly top. And so they're watching the roots and they're wondering if there is a root problem in them. But the thing that's strange, like the tomatoes in my yard, I've lost 5 of 12, 6 of 12, and a lot of other farms. The tomatoes all did not come from the same grower. You know, mine came from 3 or 4 growers, and so some produce the tomatoes themselves. So it's a mystery right now. We're trying to figure it out.
All right. And if somebody would like to know more about tomato problems, we did talk about that last week on the show. You can find out more. There's an article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page from last Saturday that you can find. Let's go back to our phone lines. Russ is in Orem. Good morning, Russ. What is your question?
Good morning. I've got two about 7-year-old sunburst honey locust trees in my front yard, and I've got two that are about 3 years old in the backyard. And the two in the front yard, the one on the left has got about 20%, and the one on the right is about, I'd say, 30 to 40% of the leaves have just turned brown, crispy, and are falling off. And I don't see any, I don't see the branches dying, at least yet. But I've had honey locusts and other properties before, and the reason I've gone with those is they're such a hardy tree for Utah. But this is the first time in all these trees that I've had that I've experienced any problem with honey locust, and I don't know what to do.
Some questions on the two in your yard. Have you had to decrease irrigation due to the drought?
Well, I would say a little bit, but our lawn is green. It's just when it starts browning up a little bit, you know, we turn the water back on.
Okay. Because with both of the trees doing the same thing at about the same time, it doesn't really point to an insect or a pathogen causing the problems. It, when you see that happen in trees, it's more environmental. It's not always, but the first thing I look for are environmental problems. And so are the trees receiving less water than they have in the past?
I'd say maybe 10 to 15%.
So not a great amount.
No. The one I had, someone that, well, an acquaintance come over, and he noticed that there were, the leaves had two different things. One had a little curly on it and the other ones were just brown. And he was wondering if there's a, honey locust bug.
Well, there is, I believe, an adelgid that gets into honey locusts occasionally that will cause a deformation in the leaf, and then sometimes those leaves will drop out. But and so you could look at that. Maybe you see it once in a while, but it's not super common. But what I'm seeing sounds a little bit more like too much or too little water. And so I can't say for sure, but especially if you're seeing two different things on the leaves, you could have a combination of things going on. I mean, the only thing I could really say to try is maybe every couple of weeks, run your sprinkler under the canopies of the trees to drive water down a good 18 inches. Because the state, even though we're trying to save water on our lawns, has stated very, you know, specifically and repeatedly, water your trees to keep them healthy, because they ultimately help with drought by shading the lawn and help with energy savings by shading buildings. And so I would maybe try deep irrigating every couple of weeks to see if it slows it down.
Okay. Yeah, because the rest of the trees look just as healthy as they always have. It's just these sections, and they're all together. You know, it's all one third. It isn't a spot, you know, all the way around the tree. It's just a clump in that area and on both trees.
Hi. I mean, that's what I can figure, because I haven't seen, I've had no calls on other honey locusts. And so I don't really know what's going on.
Okay, Ton, for some reason, oh, you pulled your headphone level, pulled down your, turn it back on now.
We're back.
So so that is too funny. He's got his headphones on, and
the cord
pulled across and pulled down his microphone. Okay.
Yeah, so
now
we're
finished on.
So the only thing I know to do, because we haven't seen a lot of problems with honey locusts, are to just deep soak those trees every couple of weeks to see if the leaf drop diminishes or stops.
Okay. And is there a... In your opinion, do you think there's a chance of losing all those branches? And
what I would do is email some pictures to the Utah County Horticulture email for the extension office. So do you have a pen and paper handy or something to write with?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I would do is email pictures to Garden Help, just all one word, Garden Help. At usu.edu.
Okay.
The only reason I give that out is because you live in Utah County, and so it's our responsibility in our office to try to help you. And so that will go over to Meredith Seaver, who is our diagnostician, and she'll look at that. Sometimes we'll get backed up a few days, but she will email back.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, wants to know, they have an espalier apple tree, and they're wondering if they can trim the really long branches that have grown since the end of spring.
Yes, those can be trimmed back. You want to maybe, if they're growing from a point that they may in the future add beneficial branches, you may not want to clip them back all the way.
Okay, let's go to Mike in Daybreak. Good morning, Mike. What is your question?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So... I have not had a lot of luck with planting beans. So I have some beans that I planted about 6 weeks ago or so, and then some beans that I planted a couple weeks ago. So and then I also planted some New Zealand spinach, which is a hot weather crop. So I have questions about the ones I just planted too. But let me start with the beans that I planted already 6 or 7 weeks ago. Only about half of them came up. I know the soil there is really bad. It's like really clay-like, but I tried to amend it a little. But also some of them are dying. I don't know if they're dying because I water them too little or too much. Lately, I've been going and watering them like every day because of the hot weather, but usually it's been like less often than that.
We may need to hold you through due to news and our breaks and things. So I want to get that out front. So we may need to hold you into the next break. But are the leaves on the beans turning yellow?
So it's about a mile from my home because it's a day break. So I can't say for sure, but it seems like some were turning yellow and just drying out and maybe brown for a couple. But yeah, yellow and just kind of shriveling up.
I wish I had more to go on than just dying because it could be too much water, too little water, spider mites. There could be a lot going on. Now, the clay soil, if it's really clay, could cause the seeds to rot if there's too much water. How much irrigation have the beans been getting?
I wasn't watering them every day for the most part. I don't know, it was maybe three times a week. But lately I've been watering them every day because it's been so hot.
You shouldn't need to do that. You know, on the new seeds, you may have to water lightly every day to keep the soil moist. But once they come up, you should be able to water three to four times a week unless you just have straight sand. And so it sounds like they may be getting a little too much water. If the soil is moist, don't water. But you would need to check it so you can dig in. And
it's really hard to check because of you dig down and you're like, I don't know, it's just hard to tell if it, when you say moist, like it maybe looks a little darker.
Well, you're going to have to get your hand in there and squeeze it. And
oh yeah, for sure. But if it's a little darker than soil that hasn't been watered, is that considered moist?
I can't really say for sure because I just usually just kind of open the soil up and just fill in there. And if it feels pretty moist, I don't water. You know, even if you can feel a little moisture, but it's starting to dry out, when you can feel just a little moisture, that's when you would go ahead and water again.
I see.
So
so you're talking about the ones that have already sprouted, like they maybe need it only every other day or?
Yeah. So what I'm going to have you do, because we're running short on time,
okay,
is email gardenhelp@usu.edu. And the person that answers that, just say you were listening to the Greenhouse Show and you needed some help with your garden, go ahead and just put your phone number in there and me or Meredith can give you a call from our offices later on this week. So,
all right, Mike.
Gardenhelp@usu.edu.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.